78. Stand up. Stand up for Jesus. Sing first, second, and last as we stand up for Jesus.
Stand up, stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. Lift high his royal banner, it must not suffer loss. From victory on to victory, his army shall he lead. Till every foe is vanquished, and Christ is Lord in thee.
Time early, people having cancer and just different physical needs, diabetes and just all sorts of things that really in the years gone by you didn't hear about it. But now it's like it's become so predominant, so we need to pray one for another. Someone said that, and I think it's probably true, that on every pew in our churches, we have the potential of a catastrophe sitting on every pew, at least in one place. And in this day and time, I think that's very true. So we need to pray one for another. Brother, Stamps, you had to request. Okay. Just remember that in prayer. Unspoken request, raised hand. Lord knows all about it. Thank God he does. All right, Brother Bill, lead us in prayer, please.
We thank you so much for this wonderful Lord's Day. We thank you that we have a church here with open doors. We thank you for pastor that preaches the word of God. And Lord, we thank you for every individual that we have, every family that's represented. Lord, that you're blessed and Lord, you love the hearts, you know every need. That's been even unspoken, Lord, I pray that you bless the services, bless the music, bless the singing, and then bless the message today. Lord, we pray for more words to say. Lord, that it be something extra special for us. Lord, we pray that you pray what you do. In Christ's name,
amen. Amen. You may be seated. Pray for the choir.
Number 114, choir. I've never been sorry. Number 114. His name, through the dark shadow, he is with me, leading me on the upward way. I've never been sorry. blessed is His name. I've never been sorry that I trusted His name. Every moment I find You exactly the same. My soul has been singing since the Savior came. I've never been sorry that I trusted His name. All the day long I've seen the story, praise Him for His wondrous love. I've never been sorry that I trusted His name. Never been sorry that I trusted His name. Every moment I find Him exactly the same. My soul has been singing since the Savior came. I've never been sorry that I trusted His name. His name. I've never been sorry that I've trusted His name. Every moment I find Him exactly the same. My soul has been singing since the Savior came. I've never been sorry that I've trusted His name. Living Glory, number 202.
Yes, I live in glory.
Let's take our red book and let's turn to hymn number 199 for our fellowship song. 199, Christ Receiveth Sinful Men. We will stand and sing the first and the second, and then we'll go around, shake hands, greet one another this morning, come back on the last. 199 as we stand.
Sinner Jesus will receive, send His word of grace to all.
Right, this thing getting heavy, it's time to sing. All right, we've got to have Yes, sir. Far away in the depths of my spirit tonight rose a melody sweeter than song. In celestial-like strains it unceasingly falls o'er my soul like an infinite calm. Peace, peace, wonderful peace, coming down from the Father above. Sweep over my spirit forever, I pray, in phantomless billows of love. What a treasure I have in this wonderful peace, buried deep in the heart of my soul. So secure that no power can mine it away, while the years of eternity roll. Peace, peace, wonderful peace, coming down from the Father above. Sweep over my spirit forever, I pray, in phantomless billows of love. Oh soul, are you here without comfort and rest, marching down the rough pathway of time? Make Jesus your friend ere the shadows grow dark. Oh, accept this sweet peace so sublime. Peace, peace, wonderful peace, coming down from the Father above. Sweep over my spirit forever, I pray, in phantomless billows of love.
All right, thank you, sister. Appreciate that. Turning your Bibles with me to the book of Genesis, chapter 14. Genesis 14. While you're turning there, next Sunday is Father's Day. And a lot of churches on Father's Day, the ladies, don't get mad at me, the ladies have an early morning breakfast. Got quiet. And they'll have a cookout and things like that. And I got to thinking about that. Ladies, I wouldn't ask you to cook or do anything like that, but I thought we ought to do something a little different. And so this is what I want to propose that we do next Sunday. Next Sunday, we usually meet, of course, at about 9:45 and take prayer requests and pray, and then we start our assembly at 10 o'clock, and then we dismiss to our Sunday school classes. But what I was thinking, and if it's all right with everybody, I thought we could do this. We could meet in the fellowship hall about 9:45, and I'll get some donuts and some milk and some juice. And I was going to ask Miss Teresa this, but she's out. But Brother Buddy, we could get somebody to make sure that coffee is made. All right. And so, yeah. she heard it back there. She's over here going, yeah, pointing at herself. So she can make sure that we got all the makings. And if you want to bring something, you're welcome to do, but we'll make sure we got some donuts and, like I say, and that type of thing. That's easy. If you want to bring anything, you know, if you want to bring sausage or biscuits or something, you don't have to bring a thing. I'm just saying if you want to, but we will have donuts. And then let's do this. Let's have a United Sunday School. We'll have both of our classes meet in there. Brother Buddy, we'll give you a break next week. I'll teach a little lesson on Father's Day. And then everybody can sit and eat and drink coffee and drink milk and drink coffee and drink orange juice and drink coffee. And kind of got the idea on that one. And so let's plan on doing that next week. Let's just go straight to the fellowship hall, and then we'll have our Sunday school time and some fellowship and just kind of a laid-back thing for Father's Day. And then we'll be in here at 11 o'clock for the morning service. So. So if you have anything you'd like to add to that, you can see me later. But let's tentatively plan on that. Just have just something different. Sometimes it's good to have something different because you can do it. And that's nice sometimes too. You don't always have to have a reason, but this would be something at least maybe a little along the lines of celebrating both Mother's Day and Father's Day. So something just a little different for all our people. So let's kind of plan on that for next Sunday, okay, for the Sunday school time. All right. We've been looking at the life of Abraham. He is still called Abram here in the Bible. We've seen several things about his life up to now. We have seen, last week, we saw the faithfulness of a believer. We saw in the life of Abram how that he was faithful to God, and we talked about how that we as Christians need to be faithful to the Lord. And then we talked the week before that on the character of a believer, how that the situations in which you are in your life will determine what kind of character you have. Not what kind of character you are, what kind of character you have. And we saw that in the life of Abram as they were going into Egypt. Then we talked about the fact of Abram, and we saw his failure and how he lied. And that little lie, if we may use that terminology, cost him his testimony and could have caused great problems in the land of the Pharaoh. Then we talked about the walk of a believer. And that was our first in this series on the life of Abraham and how we have a daily walk with God. This week I want us to look at this subject, the victory of a believer. The victory of a believer. It is important to have victory. God's way of victory is different than man's way of victory. We have to understand that. And the world will tell you that you need to jump on people, stomp people, crush people. I wonder how many people have had that very thing happen in their lives, that they have been stomped and crushed and beat down by someone else climbing to the top of their ladder and have kicked people off the ladder as they have been ascending. Someone has said, and I believe rightfully so, that we need to be careful because you need to watch out who you pass going up the ladder because you're going to meet them coming back down. And that's very true. There's always something called the law of gravity. Gravity works in many ways, not just physically, but socially and different ways, emotionally and on down the line in our lives. Well, there's victory. How did this man, Abram, experience victory? Now, I want you to bear with me. I want to read almost the entire 14th chapter. It's important to understand. We're going to look at war. Okay? Now, the Quakers, for instance, have been characterized as being a passive group of people that believes that you should not fight. The one problem with that is I read in both Old and New Testaments, I read about fighting. I brought a message some months ago on learning to fight right. And there does come a time where every Christian has to fight for what's right. And so we see that in this story. There's a war going on between surrounding cities. Sodom and Gomorrah are two of those cities, and we'll read about them. If you'll bear with me, let me read beginning with verse 1. And it came to pass in the days of Amraphel, king of Shinar, Arioch, king of Elasar, Kedalamer, king of Elam, and title, King of Nations, that these made war with Bera, king of Sodom, and with Bersha, king of Gomorrah, Shinab, king of Admah, Shemember, king of Zeboim, and the king of Bela, which is Zoar. All these were joined together in the vale of Siddim, which is the Salt Sea. 12 years they served Chedorlaomer, and in the 13th year they rebelled. And in the 14th year came Chedorlaomer and the kings that were with him, and smote the Rephaims in Ashtaroth, Carnaim, and the Zuzims in Ham, and the Emims in Shava, Kirithaim, and the Horites in their Mount Seir unto El Paran, which is by the wilderness. And they returned and came to En Mishpat, which is Kadesh, and smote all the country of the Amalekites, and also the Amorites that dwelt in Hazazon Tamar. And there went out of the king of Sodom, and the king of Gomorrah, and the king of Admah, and the king of Zeboim, and the king of Bela, which is the same as Zoar, and they joined battle with them in the vale of Siddim, with Chedorlaomer, the king of Elam, and with Tidal, king of the nations, and Amraphel, king of Shinar, and Arioch, king of Elasar, four kings with five. And the vale of Siddim was full of slime pits. And the kings of Sodom and Gomorrah fled and fell there, and they that remained fled to the mountain. And they took all the goods of Sodom and Gomorrah, and all their victuals, and by the way, that is the right pronunciation, victuals. Phonetically, we'd say victuals, but if you look it up in the dictionary, it's actually pronounced victuals. So Granny Clampett was right when she used to talk about eating victuals. Jethro, you have too many victuals. That's right. That's exactly right. And went their way. And they took Lot, Abram's brother's son, who dwelt in Sodom, and his goods, and departed. And there came one that had escaped and told Abram the Hebrew, for he dwelt in the plain of Mamre the Amorite, brother of Eshcol and brother of Aner. And these were confederate with Abram. And when Abram heard that his brother was taken captive, he armed his trained servants. Pay attention to that phrase, trained servants, born in his own house, 318, and pursued them unto Dan. And he divided himself against them, he and his servants by night, and smote them, and pursued them unto Hobah, which is on the left hand of Damascus. And he brought back all the goods, and also brought again his brother Lot, and his goods, and the women also, and the people. And the king of Sodom went out to meet him after his return from the slaughter of Chedorlaomer, and of the kings that were with him at the valley of Sheveh, which is the king's dale. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God. And he blessed him and said, "Blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thy hand." And he gave him tithes of all. Father, I pray that you'll speak to our hearts and help us today, and speak to us through thy word, and minister to us, and teach us the principle of what your victory is like as opposed to the victory of the world. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Chapter 14 gives you a series of great first things. Number one, there is the first recorded war in the Bible. That does not mean that there have not been wars. This is the first recorded war. And we read in the first 10 verses about this warfare that's taking place amongst these nations. Okay? Second thing is, we saw a first priest in the Bible. His name is Melchizedek. We'll talk about him in a little bit. Another first thing is a first communion, where there is a time in which they come together for fellowship and they give glory to God. A fourth first is the first mention of the holy city. You remember it said that Melchizedek is from the land of Salem. Salem is where we get the word shalom, and that means peace. Salem is also where we get the word for Jerusalem, and it is the city of peace. So it is the first mention of a holy city. And then we read the